second to get there. All right, get organized here, get my glasses out and read, see. Here's the title of the message, Foretaste of Glory Divine. I said, took it from the song, I Tell You How I Am. I didn't even realize we sang that this morning, Pastor. And I forgot about it at the time because I had decided I was going to preach what I had this arranged to preach in the morning originally and all. And God just impressed upon me to preach the other one. And so in the morning, and save this for tonight. The Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, well, it hadn't come oft upon it really lately, but and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which bear thorns and briars is rejected, and it is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our fellowship and the blessings of the day. Ask now that you speak to our hearts. Clear our minds, has been said already. That we're ready to take in from you what you have for us. And we commit this service into the Holy Spirit's care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Foretaste of glory divine. A couple things I need to clear up right off the bat with this verse. Probably verses 4 through 5 are probably some of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, dealing with, it said, for if it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And, you know, some people believe that that verse right there, those verses are teaching that we could lose our salvation. If we, you know, once we're saved, but there's too many other verses that would say the opposite of that. You know, you got to take the whole Bible as a whole, and in a lot of it, 1 Peter 1:5, the Bible tells us that we are kept by the power of God. That's one of the great, that's a great eternal security verse right there. We're not kept by our power, we're not kept by our works. I'll give you another one in a little bit later on in the message, but there's a lot of verses that would tell us those that are placed into my hand, you know, no man that Father put in my hand, that no man will be able to pluck them out. That's another good one right there. And so a lot of other verses that would teach otherwise. Okay, so if it doesn't mean that, some view it as a hypothetical case, that if it was possible to fall away, that you couldn't be saved after that. Well, like I said this morning about old evangelist John Long, when somebody asked him a question, said, what would you do if you found out you wasn't saved? He said, well, I'd never be saved. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I put faith in Jesus Christ the first time. I asked him to forgive me of my sins. I, you know, repented, and faith and repentance went together. If it didn't work the first time, it's not going to work the second time, so I probably couldn't get saved. You know, that's true. That's a true statement right there. But the better explanation is found this way, and you got to kind of study the Greek just a little bit. And so look at this word right here. I'm just giving you this. This is free of charge, no extra charge for this stuff. And the word crucify in verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify, that word is critical, to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put, that word put him to an open shame. Those two words right there are present participles. And that means this, it would read this way, that it could read, while they are crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. In other words, if somebody was doing that, it would read this way, if they were doing that, that it's impossible to bring them to repentance while they are in the act of putting Christ to an open shame and crucifying, in a sense, or having to crucify Christ again in their mind, at least, again. And so, no, they would have to be in the repentant state to bring them to repentance. They would have to see wrong with that. And then another thing, another key is that word fall away in verse 6, if they shall fall away. That word fall away is not the word for apostasy in the Greek. It's another word, and that word means to fall alongside. Not fall away, but it actually means to fall alongside instead of fall away. So it seems like that would be a better explanation of it. We know it's not losing our salvation. The hypothetical case might carry a little bit of weight with it, but seeing that if somebody is in the midst, somebody falls away, or in the sense, in the backslidden way, somebody backslides away. Well, let's look at Peter, for instance. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Was he a saved man? Yeah, he was. But at that moment, he was putting Christ to an open shame. The only way that was going to change is when he repented. And you couldn't bring him to repentance until he was ready to repent, right? He can't do it again. But anyway, I said all that to say this. I'm not preaching on none of that. I'm just giving you that on the side. It's in the text. What I want to preach on is verse 5. This is the key verse that I want to talk to you about. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Tasted the good word of God. You know, we can have a taste and we can have a foretaste. We were singing about that foretaste just a few minutes ago of things to come. And what that means is we have a taste now and a foretaste right now of things that are going to come. Things that are going to come in the future. I mean, we can experience that right now. Actually, when we were singing that song, I was looking at that. I thought, man, this is good. There's a whole lot of things that go along with it. The first Adam started out in paradise. We know that. First Adam started out in paradise, and he fell into sin. And, of course, it plunged the world spiritually into a curse, but it also plunged the earth into a curse as well. And yet we can look around and look at the earth now, and there's all kind of, I was showing Ramon, you know, Ramon's a great painter, man, and he paints a lot of landscape things. I said, hey, Ramon, I got a bunch of nice pictures from Colorado I've taken over the years. I'm going to get your number, and I'm going to send them to you. I mean, listen, Ramon is top notch. You go on his Facebook page and look at what he paints, man. He can sell his stuff, and he does sometimes. Sells it, say, I'm a mouse. Ramon, I'm going to send you some beautiful pictures. There is beautiful scenery, fall colors, springtime color, all those things. We see just a little bit of the paradise, the way the beauty that God intended for this earth. It's a foretaste. It's really a foretaste or a taste of glory that lies ahead. What things are going to look like when God makes heaven and earth new. I mean, man, it's going to be a beautiful thing. And this is the beauty and glory God intended. Maybe it's an aftertaste. I was thinking, you know, you got a foretaste, and an aftertaste. Man, we're getting an aftertaste of what everything, I wonder what the world looked like before the curse came upon the earth. I mean, how things actually looked. I believe it was more beautiful than it is now. We didn't have winter and summer the way. We didn't have 91 degrees, and we didn't have 5 below either. You know, I think it was all, and man, I mean, it was a beautiful place, right? And so then, of course, we know that God sent his son to be the second Adam, and he was the first of a new race. You know, I used to always say, see, I'm not a racist. I used to always say there's only one race, but that's wrong. There's two. There's the race of the first Adam, and there's the race of the second Adam. And you're either in one of them two races. You either belong to the first Adam, the race of the first Adam, that's an unsaved state, you're lost, or you belong to the race of the second Adam. That's Jesus Christ. You're in that family, that race of people, the new nature. And so, you know, and he gave, and the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so there it is. So, you know, the question is, which race, like I say, do you belong to? So the very, okay, 2 points is all I got for you tonight. I mean, I'll probably be a little longer than a normal point, but 2 points. So number one, the first one is that word taste. It said in our key verse, and have tasted the good word of God. That first taste happens when you get saved. By faith, when you when God speaks to your heart, you got that first thing. You know, think about all the time you lived. I don't know when everybody got saved. I got saved. I was 32 years old. So all the time I lived before that, man, I hadn't tasted of that good, the good word of God. I mean, I knew about God. I knew some of the word of God. I'd heard the Bible, but I didn't, you know, I didn't understand salvation and didn't know those things. So what had all that time, man, never had tasted that good word of God. And what happened was finally, you know, somebody, we you know, God was dealing with my heart, obviously, dealt with my heart. And I got this urge to, I need to go to church, kind of like Angela there today. You know, I need to go to church and hear something. I didn't know. We went, and then the pastor came. They came and visited us on visitation. And I started tasting the word of God. Tasting the word of God. And what happens? You really get the first taste, boy, when you're born again. Man, when you get saved, I mean, that's it right there. What happens? You get the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, there's a taste right there. You get the Spirit of God in you, and all of a sudden you're experiencing something that you've never tasted, never experienced before. That's the first taste. And here he's in it. We get that new nature, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. Man, what a taste of heaven. Just think about it. Now, we quench and grieve the Spirit all the time around here, you know, just by disobedience, by neglect, where we know God's not in the place he ought to be in our life at a moment, you know, in time. He's not first, he's a second. I mean, we do all that. But boy, I'll tell you what, when we get a taste of what it's like when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing like that. I mean, that's an experience. And this thing, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like that all the time.
Amen.
I mean, all the time, we're going to be not just a little bit of the Holy Spirit and, you know, quenched and grieved. And I mean, we're just going to be full of the Spirit like we've never been filled before. And we're going to experience that, man. I mean, but see, you can get a little taste of that now. We can have it now. If you get rid of everything that's hindering it and everything in your life that's hindering you from being filled with the Spirit, I said that this morning, you'll have the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be, which could be translated since, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, there's your first taste. It's salvation, man. You're getting a little taste of what, because what happened, you got the new nature. The new nature is a foretaste or a taste of the way it's going to be. And man, this is the reality of a personal experience with Christ is that Holy Spirit living within us, speaking to our heart. You know, that's the reality of it all. You can go to a restaurant, say, and you can read a menu, the different things. But that's not the same as eating the food, right? You're not experiencing eating the food, right? It's just, you can look at a picture. That's how there's that joke about the guy that went in the restaurant. He saw, you know how they do them pictures of the meal? Man, you can go to the greasiest spoon on the planet, and they got a picture of a cheeseburger. It's a perfect cheeseburger. And they got these French fries and all. They look perfect. And you go, oh, that looks good. But now that's not experiencing it. And the guy goes in and he sees it. He says, man, that looks, he saw a dish on there. He said, that looks really good. Picture. He said, let me have that. And they bring it to him. Later on, the waitress comes out and says, oh, how did you enjoy your meal? He said, give my compliments to the photographer. The picture was good, right? But that doesn't mean the meal is it, right? Well, listen here. Here's the menu right here.
Amen.
And you can read the menu until you're blue in the face. But you're not experiencing the meal, huh, until you take this word right here, until it's applied to your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. And now you're getting a taste of it, not just reading the menu. It's the same thing. You read the menu in the restaurant, you're not eating the meal, boy. Get the meal, man. You know, the Lord talked about drinking my blood and eating my flesh. I don't want to preach that around people that don't know anything about church, man. They go, what in the world is he talking about? Cannibals in there. But he's not talking about physical eating. He's talking about taking Christ into your body. Because what happens when you eat food, you know, through the biological process, your body breaks it all down and all those nutrients go into your system. That's what happens here. You read the Word of God and you take it in, and then it's a spiritual, not a biological, but a spiritual way that that Word goes into your life. That's what Christ was talking about. And that is really, is the taste, man. It's a taste. And our verse, and have tasted the good Word of God. This is it. Tasted the good Word of God. That means you know something about it. You've eaten that. David wrote in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Well, how did he know the Lord was good? Huh? Just by reading a book? I mean, we could read all the verses. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that says God is good, right? We say God is good, and everybody says,
amen.
And all the time,
God is good.
Well, how do you know? Huh? How do you know? How do you know that? How did David know it? I'll tell you what. When God called David to be king, he experienced his grace. David was just a little shepherd boy out in the field. Huh? Samuel came and called for all the sons of Jesse to come. And they brought them all up there, and they got and figured, oh, well, it'll be the biggest guy. And the biggest, oldest one, he ain't. The next one, he got down to the end of the road, man. Is this all you got for sons? Nah, I got one more. Got one more young one out there watching the sheep or whatever he was looking at. Sheep. Bring him in here. He's the man, right? What had David done? Nothing. He hadn't slain Goliath yet. He hadn't done anything. He had never decided that he was a man after God's own heart. We didn't know that yet, but he probably was. It was grace. He out of nowhere, man, a shepherd boy out in the middle of nowhere, God called him to be Israel's king and be in the line of Christ too, and a lot of other things that go along with that. He experienced the grace of God, his call to be king. He experienced his power when he went up against Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. Huh? Goliath, 9'9". Huh? And Saul wanted him to put the armor on. He said, man, I ain't tried this stuff out. I'm not going to use that. I don't need that. Went out there with a sling and a stone, said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Man, he knew. Boy, killed old Goliath, lopped his head off with his own sword and took his sword and went away with it. Defeated the enemy. Man, he experienced his power. He experienced his forgiveness, mercy and forgiveness when he sinned with Bathsheba. Man, Nathan said, you're the man. You're the man. Oh, man. He repented. He called out to God. It cost him his child, but he experienced his mercy, forgiveness after that. He experienced his provision and protection. 10 years, over 10 years, he was on the run from Saul. Saul trying to take his life because he wouldn't take Saul's life. He said, that's God's anointed. I'm going to let God deal with him. I'm not going to deal with him. Saul was trying to kill him, man. But if you read that whole story, we read that whole thing one time. I think we went through it on Wednesday night years ago. Went through there. Man, I mean, there was times when Saul was about to get him, man. They were just right there on top of him. And he got around. God worked it out where he escaped him every single time. He experienced his promise when he finally sat on the throne. God's promises were fulfilled, man. Oh, man, he tasted. Huh? He tasted all these things experientially himself, the Lord. He experienced the goodness of God. See, a lot of people can't say. You say, God is good, and everybody say all the time. They don't know. They didn't really tasted that. They don't understand it or haven't seen it. And all the time, God is good. They don't know. And he knew, but he knew what the goodness of God was. You know, the taste is the evidence of the new birth. As I said, 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, here's the key right here. You know, a baby, now, you mamas, some of you got kids that aren't very, and y'all, got younger ones, but you don't have to go in there most of the time and say, come on, drink your milk. You got to drink your milk. Get the bottle and stuff it in there, and say, come on, squirt the thing. No, man. Them babies is crying at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. What do they want? They want, ain't nothing going to satisfy them. You better have that milk, right? You got to have it. They desire that, man. They want it. Well, that's what the illustration is. Man, you don't have to beg a saved person, man, to read the Bible. Huh? To desire, that's how you, one of the things you're saved. Man, you have a desire for the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, have tasted. What does it say? What's our text say? Tasted the good word of God, man. I mean, this is it. Dead men have no taste and they have no desire. Dead men don't have taste and don't have desire. And spiritually dead men do not have taste for the word of God or desire for the word of God. They just don't. And that's the evidence of the new birth. And so, man, the goodness of God, tasting the goodness of God. You know, you have an appetite change. I didn't have a taste for the Word of God until I got saved, really. I didn't have a problem with the Word of God. We had Bibles laying all over the place, but I never opened them up. I mean, I just wasn't anything compelling me to go. You know, made excuses probably. Where to look? I told Angela there, I said, look, get a Bible, but start reading in like John or something. Don't go in the Old Testament because, you know, that's not going to make any sense to you until you get the gospel straightened out, and then that'll start making sense. But that's a good way to direct somebody that is new, you know, and that. But we get this appetite starts to change. You know, how many of you today physically like something, you love something that you eat now that you didn't like or you thought you didn't like when you were young? Anybody like that? Man, I grew up in Virginia Beach. You know, we had a boat and we lived. My mom grew up in Cape Charles, Eastern Shore. Man, it's a fishing town. That's all they did. And they ate seafood. Mom said maybe once a month they might have beef or something like that. They ate fish all the time. I mean, it was easy to get and all over the place. And oysters, good grief, they were all over. And man, I mean, back then I was a kid. Boy, I didn't want no oyster. I didn't even want shrimp, man. Huh, David, there was a time you didn't like any more shrimp, did you? Huh, until you ate one. Huh? Now you better not whip a shrimp out when he's around. Thing will be gone. He's eyeballing anything. Huh? I go out there at Christmas Eve. We cook them up on our deck. He's been there. And David's just out there watching the pot boil, man. Huh? Can't get any, waiting on it to come in. I was the same way, man. My mom says, nah, I don't want no shrimp. Mm-mm. No, I don't want them. Didn't think I liked them. You know why? I'd never tasted. I never tried it. Now, go ahead and bring some shrimp out. Oh, Pastor, we got a pound of shrimp. Great. What's everybody else going to eat? Oh, I can eat a pound of them. Easy. Easy. And want more. Love them now, but I never tried it. See, I was wrong about that. And how many people listen that don't have an appetite for Christ? They don't have an appetite for the things of God. Why? Because they never tried it. They never did. They just keep thinking that. Just like we do. And you know, there's some food out there somewhere that we've never tasted, all of us. Somewhere in the world, there's something we've never ate that we would love it if we ever got a hold of it. We would love it. I ate at Margie's little thing, her niece came over. Stanley, she made an almond pound cake. I never had an almond pound cake. Let me tell you what I like. I like it. I never had a dessert that I don't like, by the way. I don't think I've ever had dessert. Huh? Almond pound cake. Never had it in my life. Would have said, no. You know, I figured, though, if it was a dessert, I probably would like it. But now I know. Why? Because I tasted it. Sherry had it, too. She liked it, too. And so, a lot of people don't have an appetite for the things of God because they haven't tasted it. And even, I think, as Christians, there's something in the realm of Christianity that you've never really tasted, man. And man, a full-blown filling of the Holy Spirit. Woo, man, when you have that, you're never going to be satisfied with less. You'll never be satisfied with less. So we have a taste. And then also we have a foretaste. See, in our text it says, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers, tasted the powers of the world to come. In other words, what lies ahead? Our song that we sang, I was kind of, as we were singing, I was thinking about that. I was looking at the words that we were saying. Yeah, man, everything is talking about what's coming, what's coming, what's coming. Here's one of my old favorite verses in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And when I first got saved, this was a real strong verse for me. And here's a great verse for security of the believer, that you can't lose your salvation. This will show you right here. Ephesians 1:13 says this. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, now here it is, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Now you got a seal. I'm going to tell you who can break that seal. Only God could do it. When you go to Revelation, look at them seals in Revelation. Only the Lord can do it. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is earnest. Everybody knows what earnest is. That's down payment. Of our inheritance, which is future, a foretaste. We got a foretaste here. See, we've got the Holy Spirit as a foretaste of our inheritance. Until, when? It says we're sealed until when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, us, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. So that tells me right there, listen, it didn't say, well, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit until you did X amount of things wrong, and now you lost your salvation, and now you, no, it says I'm sealed until the day of redemption, huh? And I'm a purchased possession by God, and I got the seal of God. If you're saved, you got the seal of God on you. That is a foretaste of what's ahead, huh? Where's what's ahead's our inheritance. All of our inheritance, the rest of our inheritance. We have the Holy Spirit. Now it's the down payment. You know what it says that? It says it's an earnest money, the seal. So we got a down payment of our inheritance, and we got a seal of our salvation, an earnest of our inheritance, and just what is going to come. Like I said, boy, we think we got something when we feel the Spirit moving on us now. You wait till that day. Huh? You wait till we get in heaven. Holy Spirit, a foretaste of what's to come. Man, it's going to be nothing like it. We're gonna reign with Christ in the world to come. Huh? That's, we're just getting a foretaste of that. Because right now, see, here's the foretaste of it is, the Bible teaches us that we can reign in life right now. What does that mean? What does it mean to reign in life? I'll tell you what it means. It means when you're calling the shots, not life calling the shots on you, but you're calling the shots on life. Huh? We can reign in life, man. We can be in control, you know, through prayer, God's leading. Of course, God's ultimately in control. But, I mean, we don't have, a lot of people just like a jellyfish. Whichever way the tide's going, they float in, wash up on some beach somewhere, go out, go this way when the tide's going that way, and go this way. And whatever happens in life is dictating their life, instead of us walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are dictating life to a degree, what happens to us. And that's the way it's going to be. We can reign in life right now, which is a foretaste of reigning with Christ when we reign with him. And boy, that, you know, that's really that fellowship with Christ, that filling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the outstanding thing I was thinking about, we were talking about this morning, you know, some of the qualifications of going out and witness, being a witness for Christ. You know, I mean, you had to have the peace of God had to be on you, and then you had joy. Huh? You think you get happy now. One of the overwhelming characteristics of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, is the love of God. Even to the point where you don't know that you can take it anymore. So I've experienced it, but I've read about other guys that wrote it this way. They said, man, God was pouring, was just filling me to the point that I thought my heart would explode. I couldn't take it anymore. I'm begging God to stop. You know, he couldn't take it any longer. Now, boy, that's going to be that's a foretaste of what it's going to be like, huh? You know, it ain't going to look like a church when we're preaching up there in heaven. I don't know if we're going to get to preach there, but if we do, we ain't going to see the faces we see down here. Huh? They're actually going to be smiling. Huh? I mean, just so happy. I mean, it'll be smiling. I mean, it's a foretaste, the joy of all those things, that fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace. All that is just a foretaste of what it's going to be. We're experiencing in this life. It's not all pie in the sky. We're going to have some of it down here. We're going to get a little crumb down here. That's a foretaste of glory divine. We were singing about it in the song. The peace of God that passes all understanding is a foretaste. Think about this. I don't even know what we're going to think about. What are we going to wake up at 3 a.m. and worry about when we're in heaven? Huh? The peace of God that passes all understanding. We can have that here. It's a foretaste of what's going to be there. You think about it now, okay. What's on your mind? What concerns do you have? You got to have none of them up there. Well, what are we going to think about? If I don't have a worry or a concern, I mean, our minds will be just about blank, right? So I can't tell you, but I just know it's not going to be any. It's going to be the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's going to It's the peace of God that overcomes us when we're walking in the fiery furnace. Like them three Hebrew children, man, they wasn't worried about a thing, man. They just cruising around in there with the fire going on. When we experience that in our fiery furnace here on this earth, or our peace in the midst of the storm we sing about, when we experience that peace is a foretaste of the peace that we're going to have there, because there ain't going to be no storm there. Not going to be a storm. Not going to be a fiery furnace. We just get a foretaste of it here when we experience that peace in everything that goes on in our life. And so we're saved. We are living a supernatural life now. Amen. That is a foretaste of what's ahead. That's a supernatural life there. But we can experience that. We're saved now. We have the Holy Spirit of God now. The old body gets tired and old and weak and all that, achy. But our soul and spirit, my soul and spirit's just as young as it ever was. It's ageless, right? Ageless. That's a foretaste of what's ahead. This is good stuff. We get a shout out of somebody every now and then, huh? I mean, a shout. I can't wait till we get to heaven, boy. Woo, man, I'll tell you what, y'all going to be in a shock. You're going to be standing up there shouting amen at the top of your lungs and say, I can't believe I'm saying this. Ah, hallelujah, man. We have to get up. Huh? It wasn't like this on earth. Yeah, we know. We know. We know it wasn't, but that's how it's going to be. Think about it. We're going to be laughing so hard, we'll be crying. We'll be crying so hard, we'll be laughing. I mean, we're going to be so excited about it. And we can have that now. We can really have it. Supernatural life. You know what? We experience a foretaste when we get that touch of the body, when there's a healing. That's a foretaste of when we're not going to need any healing. We're going to be well. We can have an illumination of our mind when God just reveals something to your mind spiritually. That's a foretaste of what, I don't know how it's going to be there. You know, I don't think we're going to be done learning for some reason. I don't think we'll be done learning there. I mean, we'll know, the Bible says even as we're known, we'll know some things, but I think we're going to know more things and we'll just keep knowing. It might be a never-ending revelation from God and illumination of the mind. How about the quickening of the Spirit, where we feel alive in the Spirit? That's going to be nonstop. It's a foretaste of what's going to happen. All of it a foretaste of the glory to come. Christ himself demonstrated that when he walked upon the earth. He had all these things. Man, he had the peace and he had the love of God and he had joy. I mean, everything theirs. Think about this. You ever thought about this? I used to be fascinated. I liked history. I was really good at biology. Wasn't too hot at math. Got by till I was about a junior and senior, and I did pretty good in math. But before that, I wasn't interested in it. But I was interested in history, and I was interested in biology. The thing about them early explorers, and I grew up in Virginia Beach, and then I was in the Navy on top of that, and we had a boat. Man, we'd go out ways. I mean, where you couldn't see land for a little bit on either side. But in the Navy, we was hundreds of miles off the coast. You know, you look out as far as you can see, you don't see land. I was hoping and praying that our captain knew what he was doing. Wasn't real sure about it, but anyway, I guess I had enough faith to ride, right? But think about them early explorers that left the old world, and they don't have any maps on what's out there, and they didn't have a GPS or anything. And they were on them old sailing ships that, you know, if there wasn't any wind, they weren't doing anything. And months and months at sea. Think about this. And they're just taking a shot. I mean, they don't know that there's a continent out there somewhere to hit. Matter of fact, in the beginning, some of them used to think the earth was flat. They're going to sail off the end of it. Keep watching, man. If you see a waterfall coming, turning around, right? But think about that now. And so there's the unknown. You know how we're afraid of the unknown. But somebody had to have some guts here, right? And they're hoping that they're going to find some new land, maybe full of gold and whatever, and some of it was. And they'd sail for months and months. And this is how it is at sea. You start looking off the front of the boat, and all of a sudden, man, you go, hey, there's a big old piece. There's a log floating by here. Well, you know, they ain't growing in the water, on the water. There's a driftwood. Huh? Then you see some kind of maybe a palm branch going by. And boy, they'd light up. They say, you know what that means? There's some land around here somewhere. Because maybe even where they came from, maybe didn't have palm branches, never saw a tree like that. And they got excited, man. Just think about it. And then there was other, maybe a coconut go floating along. Hey, grab it up and see what it is. A foretaste of what was ahead. Amen. Huh? And it got them excited. Man, listen, there is land. We're going to be able to get off the boat and, you know, find what we're looking for. Man, that was it. Listen, tasting leads to knowing, which leads to seeing, you know, a vision, you know, we can foresee as well. Spiritual vision, focus away from the chaos of life and focus on Christ. He's the giver of life. All this by tasting and we get a taste of Christ. You know, listen, man, we got a guarantee. If you're saved, you've got a guarantee. You got a down payment. You got a foretaste of what actually lies ahead, you know, and that's what, you know, we need to have. We got a seal. I love that. That was somebody that asked me when I first got saved, first year or two, what's your favorite verse? I'd say Ephesians 1, 13 through 15. That's good. That's good stuff. A seal, ownership by the owner himself. In closing, the first message that I ever preached was over there. When the pulpit and everything was over there, the first message I ever preached was titled, Come and Dine. Come and Dine. I'll never forget it. I talked about this loud. I probably talked about this loud through the whole message. You have to turn I have it on cassette. You got to turn whatever you play it in wide open. You can hear me. But it was Come and Dine. Come and Dine. Come and taste. Come and see, you know, what God has. I mean, that's the key, you know, to it all. So, you know, if God spoke to your heart today, somehow, somewhat, I don't know. You know, I never know. You never know who needs the Lord, who's not sure about their salvation. Get that matter settled today, tonight. And then those of us, if you are saved, boy, we got a lot to shout about. Amen. God's blessed us with a taste and a foretaste. We know what lies ahead, and we ought to think about that and give him the glory for it all. We can celebrate that. Amen? Amen. All right, Paul, you come lead us in the invitation.